You've tuned in to the most crazy rocking metal podcast on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Metal from the Inside.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor, and you are listening to episode 44 of the Metal from the Inside podcast, which is absolutely crazy that we are over 40 episodes in. We're going to be at episode 50 before we know it, and I'm already planning a very special guest for that episode. We are still a couple episodes away, though, so stay tuned. But the exciting thing about this week's episode is that when I am recording this, I am fresh out of my first concert post-quarantine, post-pandemic, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't really say we're post-pandemic, but concerts are returning. As many of you guys, I'm sure, already know, I talked about it on the podcast too, but there have been a lot of tours that were lined up for this fall and are lined up for this summer, and we are really seeing the return of live music, which makes my heart so happy. So happy. I was just a complete and utter mess without live shows. They are my reason for being, and it was just absolutely just depressing and devastating to not be able to go to one for over a year, which is just, I can't believe I haven't gone probably a month without seeing a show. But since I've started going to shows, you know, it's just, it's crazy to think that we all went over a year without going to a concert. And I actually did go to a drive-in show back in September. I saw Steel Panther, but I don't even really count that because to me, it just, the energy was off. It just wasn't the same, you know, staying by your car and the stage was just like, felt like it was miles away. I couldn't even like see that. It was terrible. Steel Panther was great, but it was just a very strange experience. So this show that I saw this past Saturday night, I am counting as my first show post my vaccination, post pandemic, if you want to call it that, whatever you want to call it. This was my first show in almost 18 months, which is just mind-blowing to me. As I've mentioned, it just completely blows my mind. I had the opportunity, though, to see the legendary Guns N' Roses on the opening night of their tour at Hershey Park Stadium in Pennsylvania. It was such a fantastic show, and I know there may be some of you out there who aren't the biggest Guns N' Roses, you know, fans. You know, I hear a lot, especially from those who are fans of more kind of the classic, you know, early kind of 70s, mid-70s rock, that they think Guns N' Roses is overrated, or they only had a couple of records, or the most overrated band of all time. I've heard that a bunch. But to me, you cannot deny the greatness of that band. And I've always loved Guns N' Roses. It was so surreal to be able to see all of those songs live that I have been listening to for as long as I can possibly remember. And I tend to do this when I see live shows. I will go back and kind of really dig deep into the band's catalog after I see them. It's always been like that for me. Live shows just blow my mind. And although I've always loved Guns N' Roses, seeing them live and seeing any band live like that, just, I don't know, in a way I become like infatuated with bands after I see them and I experience them live, no matter how many times I've seen them before. So after seeing them these past couple of days, I've really been revisiting their catalog, listening to their records, you know, Appetite, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2, Lies, all of those records. And every single time, and I always say this, aside from the fact that I think Appetite for Destruction is one of the greatest debut records that has ever been released, you know, I listen to that album top to bottom, and, you know, I hear the songs on the radio, I listen to my favorite songs, but, you know, I haven't really gone back and listened to that record from top to bottom in a while. And so I went back and listened to it, and it just blows my mind how many hits, like how every song is a hit on that record. It's just, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And no matter what you say about Guns N' Roses, Their songs are familiar with anybody in the English-speaking language and even the world. You know, Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine. You cannot be a rock fan and still know all of the words to those songs. And I think that that's something that's really special and says a lot about that band and the legacy that they have. I mean, I've heard from many people, you know, that were around during that time, and I've done the hit, you know, the research, I've read up on things, I've talked to people, you know, that they came onto the scene and they just completely changed everything. And so it was just an absolute honor to get to see them. This was my first time seeing them, and they put on such a great show. You know, Axl was sounding honestly really great. I know he's gotten a lot of flack over the years for his voice, and you know, I always say, of course, these vocalists are not going to sound exactly like they did in the late 80s. I mean, it's 30 plus years later, you know, they're not gonna sound the same. And I also joke around about all of these people who go to shows and they say so-and-so sounded bad or, you know, blah, 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 whatever you wanna say. And in some instances, I totally get it. There's a difference between going to a show and not being able to enjoy it because maybe somebody doesn't sound that great. I'm not going to say the name of the person, but you probably know who I'm talking about. But in this case and other cases, you know, people say things about Axl. And when you're at a show like that, you're in the moment. You're not worried about what they sound like. You know, for me, I thought that Axl sounded absolutely fantastic, but, you know, I'm in the moment. I'm singing the words of Sweet Child of Mine. I'm not standing there and criticizing every single note he's singing or, you know, whatever. And I think that that's so funny because it's just, it's so unrealistic to think that when you go to a show that you're going to be intently listening to somebody's vocals. It doesn't happen. And that's why I always, you know, take critiques like that with a grain of salt because it's just like, come on, guys. But I thought that Axl sounded really, really great. The whole band is tight. The energy was there. You know, it's been over 4 years since Axl and Slash got back together and it seems like that's going great. They played an almost 3 hour set, over 2.5 hours. They came on, I think, about 8:45 and didn't get off, you know, leave the stage until right before 11 o'clock. They played for really long time, I believe 20 songs. They did everything from Appetite to Velvet Revolver to even some songs off of Chinese Democracy to, you know, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. And I think that they just absolutely killed it. I also wanted to talk about the opener on this tour, and I'm sure that many of you guys know already, but Eddie Van Halen's son, Wolfgang Van Halen, and his band Mammoth WVH are the openers on this Guns N' Roses tour, and they absolutely blew me away. They were absolutely fantastic, and he played almost, felt like almost every single song from that debut record, and it was just really great to see Wolfgang live. He's really been diving deep into the music industry lately and working on this project. He just released the debut record from Mammoth WVH, and he's got this tour, and I just think that Eddie would be so, so, so proud of him. His mom, Valerie Bertinelli, of course, was there for the first shows that he did. He had two solo shows before opening up for GNR at Hershey, but he's doing such a great job, and it was really touching to hear him sing Distance live. It was just, you know, he kind of precursored it with how hard it is for him to sing live, and I can't even imagine. I was actually talking to my mom when he was, you know, starting that song, or right before he started that song, and how it was so hard for me to believe that Eddie Van Halen is not walking around and, most importantly, playing guitar on this planet anymore. And she had such a good, you know, a great point that, you know, what it must that be like for Wolfgang. And, you know, I can't even imagine how emotional it is to sing that song every single night in front of an audience of people who loved your dad too. It's just, it was really emotional. And he also shared a tidbit that Think It Over was Eddie's favorite song from the record. And it's actually my favorite song from the record too. My favorite used to be Resolve, and I, you know, went back and I've listened to the record a bunch of times, and my favorite actually became Think It Over. So when he said that, I was just really touched, and he was absolutely fantastic. They are killing it on this tour. They're doing such a great job, and I know that there is so much in the future for Wolfgang and Mammoth WVH. So if you were seeing the Guns N' Roses tour, please get there early. Please watch Wolfgang and the rest of the band. They do such a great job, and you guys will not regret it. Anyways, that was a really long ramble, but it was so great to be at a live show again. Yes, yes, those are motorcycles that you are hearing in the background. I do live in the middle of Philadelphia, so not always quiet all the time. My apologies. But it was so great to be at a live show again, and there was a lot of times where I would just stare at the audience during that show, and to be honest, just tears would come to my eyes because I had no idea when I was going to get to see that again. People like that in one space, you know, taking part in my favorite thing in the world, seeing live music and having a unique shared experience, you know, between everybody who's at a show, because no show is the same. I don't care how many shows that you have seen on a tour, no show is the same, and it's something that's really special to know that you and everybody there have this unique experience that nobody else can say that they've had. And it was really emotional to look into that sea of people and see everybody just having a great time. And it's something that I really missed and honestly still miss, because I hope that things continue, that these shows that are scheduled for September and the fall are happening. I have tickets to many of them, so I'm keeping, you know, my fingers crossed and keeping the positive vibes out there. But be sure to support Guns N' Roses and go purchase a ticket to the tour if they are coming to your area. I could not have asked for a better show to be my comeback show to live music. It was absolutely fantastic, and I heard that they've absolutely been crushing the following shows that they've had. They played Fenway Park in Boston, and tonight when I'm recording this, they are playing MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. So I've heard fantastic things from everybody who's seen them so far, and they actually debuted a new song on Tuesday night called Absurd, which I heard was actually just a different version of their song Silkworms. They added a new verse or chorus or something, so go ahead and take a listen to that if you would like. We are going to get right into this week's interview here on episode 44. This is a really kind of different interview that I have for you guys today with somebody who has been in the industry for quite a long time. He has done a lot of graphic design work, and also, aside from being a musician himself, he owns a very well-known clothing company in the hard rock and heavy metal scene. I'm sure that many of you have heard of it. I have the co-founder of Worn Star Clothing, Stefan Jensen, joining me today on this week's episode of the Metal from the Inside podcast. Stefan actually co-founded Worn Star with his wife Sylvia back in 2009, and they are pretty much a household name in the hard rock and heavy metal world. They create stage clothes for all of your favorite hard rock musicians, but also sell the clothing to fans just like yourself or anybody who wants to be decked out in some really cool leather and some awesome custom-made jeans and all that fun stuff. So I was really excited to have Stefan on because I've known of Worn Star for a while. You know, a lot of the musicians I love are always repping Worn Star. I remember seeing Rudy Sarzo wearing Worn Star. You can see their official, you know, full artist roster on their website, by the way. But I was approached about having Stefan on the podcast, and I thought that he would be a great guest. He has done a lot of album artwork over the years, as he is a graphic designer and has designed a ton of different album covers, most recently for Damon Johnson, who I had on the podcast a couple of months back. And he also designed Warren's latest record, as well as a bunch of others. And Stefan was actually a musician in the late 80s and early 90s before he transitioned to graphic design. So in this interview, we cover everything from his background and how he got into hard rock and heavy metal, his time as a musician, and what led him to, you know, stop playing in bands and to kind of transition into graphic design and eventually becoming a co-founder of Worn Star Clothing. Stefan also, aside from all of the stuff I've just mentioned, he's done a lot of things. He's also a graphic designer for Stern Pinball and has designed a lot of the pinball machines that I'm sure that you have seen in arcades, and most recently the Led Zeppelin series that just came out. So we get a little bit into that, what exactly goes into designing a pinball machine, you know, the playing field, the outside, all of that fun stuff. So it was an absolutely great conversation. I really think that you guys are going to enjoy our chat. Before we get into the conversation, here is my weekly reminder to go ahead and leave a 5-star review on Metal from the Inside's Apple Podcast page, Facebook page, or Podchaser page. Every single review that is left helps the podcast immensely and allows more metalheads to find us and listen to all the fun stuff that we have going on over here. So go ahead and be sure to leave us a 5-star review again on our Apple Podcast page, our Facebook page, or our Podchaser page. All of those pages are linked on our social media accounts. So without further ado, we are going to get right into my conversation with graphic designer, co-founder, and CEO of Worn Star Clothing, Stefan Jensen. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor, of course. And today I have a very interesting guest, a little different than what I normally have on the podcast. You know, I go for the musicians usually, but today I have Stefan Jensen joining me, which he's worn many hats in the music industry, but many of you will know him mostly from being a founder of the clothing company Worn Star, which I've been very familiar with in my time as a rock fan and going to shows and knowing the musicians and everything. So it's great to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Sydney?
I'm doing well. You know, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, but you know, this past year has been honestly just insanity. I think that's just the understatement. But how has this last year been like for you? And how is life getting a little bit back to normal for you?
Well, this past year, it's been really interesting for us. It's been really busy for us. We spent the past year designing new products and getting new designs put together. And the sales have been great. So I hate to say that I can't complain. but we've been working harder than we've ever worked to maintain that. And it's nice. And it's starting to get busy again for and busier for us because now bands are starting to play again. People are starting to go to shows again. And so people are starting to contact us for new clothes, of course. So far, so good for us. And just trying to stay safe and stay healthy and make sure that my crew and the people we work with are doing well.
Right. Yeah. I love that we're finally kind of getting back into live shows. I saw my first live show. I saw Guns N' Roses the other night, and it was actually surreal to be in an audience, yeah, that many people. It was like, I felt like I was doing something wrong, but it was like, oh, this is weird. But it's great to hear that things have been good for you. And, you know, I kind of wanted, when I was thinking about this interview and kind of how I wanted to structure it and ask you about just kind of your time in the industry, I really kind of wanted to start at the beginning because, you know, people who know you, you know that, of course, you're the founder of Worn Star. You've done a lot of stuff for Dean Guitars and you're a graphic designer, but you were also a musician and, you know, fans and everything. It all comes from somewhere. So I kind of wanted to start at the beginning for you, what it was like, you know, to become a rock fan. What was your entrance into music in general? And, you know, how did that lead into you becoming a musician yourself?
Sure. Well, we didn't really come from I didn't really come from a musical household. It was mainly top 40 radio and everything. And I kind of leaned more towards the heavier rock stuff. I was born in the 70s. So, the stuff I jumped on that I really liked, was bands like Sweet and Queen and stuff like that. And, but I didn't get too deep into, being a big music fan until junior high or so. And I started hanging out with a crowd that, and they introduced me to some of the heavier bands, and I started buying records and stuff. And then I started playing guitar when I started high school, when I was 15. So it was a little later, and really loved playing and really loved the music that I was listening to at the time. And, started working more with my guitar teacher at the time, who took a liking to my playing style and my writing style. And he asked me to be in his band. And so I played my first gig at the Limelight in Chicago, which is now Excalibur, I believe. So I got my first taste of playing live at 16, I believe. And from there, you know, I played a couple of small gigs like that in a couple of other bands. And then I joined a band in 88 called Barracuda. And they had already just finished a record. And I joined the band and 2 weeks in the band, we're shooting our first music video, which ended up getting played on MTV on Headbangers Ball back in early 89. I think my years might be off there. No, I started in 89. I was 19. And then the video started playing in early 90, excuse me, when the album came out. And we shot another music video. Both ended up getting played on that. Played around in other bands throughout the early 90s. And at the same time, I was going to college for graphic design and photography. But I left the music industry as far as playing because I didn't really see the bands I was playing with going anywhere. And they really didn't like, I didn't like the same style of music that all the people I was playing with. So I kind of lost interest in the playing part of it, but I loved the music industry. I loved being part of it. And so I started designing album covers and band flyers and posters at that time. Again, about the mid 90s. Let's see, from that, I did a lot of album covers over the years, worked with a lot of different bands. And I started in the early 2000s going to the NAMM show in Anaheim. You know, I still wanted to be in the music industry and working with the working with musical instrument companies. Started working with Dean Guitars in 04. That was right when Dimebag came back. So I worked with Dimebag Darrell designing a bunch of guitars for him for his comeback. And from there, worked with several other artists, Corey and Matt from Trivium, Dave Mustaine from Megadeth, quite a few others, and maintained a good relationship with those, a lot of those people. And then I decided, my wife Sylvia and I, we started talking about this, putting together a clothing company. This was in early 2000s, about the same time I started working with Dean Guitars. And we really didn't get kicked off the ground until we launched, and we actually launched in 2009. But before starting that, I started putting together designs, started showing them around to people that I know, musicians that I work with, and seeing what they thought, trying to get honest feedback. And the feedback was great. And we started it kind of as a side project that kind of took over our lives. And now we're fast forward to 12 years later. And I'm running this company that I'm still trying to do design for. And do all the photography and everything for, and my wife does a lot of the custom clothing for musicians, and some of our clients. So, but yeah, I couldn't be happier with where it ended up. But I always wanted to be part of the music industry. I still work with a lot of the same people that I worked with early on, and now they're just customers of my clothing. And I still do some freelance once in a while, do album covers here and there. Most recently did, the past couple of years, I don't do a lot of them anymore, but I did a lot of albums for a band called Dope. I did, the last Warrant record. I did, Damon Johnson's records for the past 2 years. A blues guy named Anthony Gomes that I work with, blues rock guy. It was fantastic. And just, I've got a few people that still trust me to help them with their album image and their band image and doing their photography and everything too.
Yeah. It's really interesting because you were talking about, you know, kind of the bands that you were into when you were getting into music, you know, the Sweet mm-hmm. and everything, you know, when I think of those bands, there were a lot of the bands that were, you know, very kind of big with their clothing and everything, you know, like that's kind of what they were, you know, mostly known for sometimes image wise. And it's funny that, you know, you went on to then develop this own clothing company, kind of your own, and kind of be a part of that in a way.
Well, yeah, I when I started playing, it was the mid to late 80s. So the music I was listening to was, I still loved all that, the Sweet and Queen and all that. It was a little bit more of a glam rock kind of thing. But I started listening to heavier stuff. I didn't get too heavy. There are some really heavy bands that I listen to. But mostly I was into songs and good melody and stuff. So like my first album that I think I bought at the time was Dokken's Tooth and Nail. And that's what, listening to George Lynch play, that's what made me want to play guitar. So it was a little bit more bands like that. It was bands like Dokken and then eventually Lynch Mob and oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank right now. Trying to think of bands from then I listened to. But all the typical radio, the stuff that was played on the radio was what I liked the most, I think, because I liked good songs, good hooks.
Yeah, I mean, we just became best friends because Dokken's one of my favorite bands of all time.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Well, you actually worked with George, right? When you were with Dean, right? Am I correct?
It wasn't for Dean, but yes, it was. Okay. It was for Washburn. George was an ESP player, but he had a deal with Randall Amplifiers, and Randall Amplifiers was also Washburn Guitars. And a good friend of mine was the artist relations guy over at Washburn Randall. And we were at NAMM and he was meeting with George, and I get a text from him that says, I'm walking the NAMM floor and I get a text from him and he goes, "Hey, do you have time to meet with me and George Lynch and talk about a guitar design?" I said, "I'll be right there." So that was kind of cool, getting to, you know, sit across the table and talk shop with George Lynch, my idol at the time. Well, my idol for a long time, and talk with him about guitars. But we designed an acoustic guitar that came out, gosh, I can't remember what year that was, early 2000s, mid 2000s.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I always focus on when I talk to, you know, a lot of musicians or, you know, people who work in the industry, because I feel that way too. And I get to speak with a musician or somebody that I've admired for so long, like, you know, talk, you know, I can't even imagine, you know, you're speaking about like designing a guitar for him and he was the whole reason that you wanted to play guitar. It must be sometimes, I guess, surreal to kind of have that come full circle.
Oh, it is. It's not something I told him, but
I know you got to keep. But,
yeah. Yeah. I always say that this kind of the work that I do being with this company and then my design work is really a series of holy crap moments a lot. So there's a lot of times I'm kind of pinching myself and it's really cool to be working for some of the people that that I idolize, and more importantly, them trusting me with working for them, with helping, you know, because basically when I'm designing a guitar or I'm designing their albums or designing their clothes, it's trusting me with their image. There are some bands where I, you know, Dope is a good example of a band that I worked with for a long time, well over a decade, and they kind of treated me like a fifth member of the band, where I was as important to their image as everything else that they had done.
And it's interesting because I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, obviously your graphic design work, which is such a huge part of what you do. How did you make mm-hmm. that transition into, you know, being in the music industry, playing in a band, to then, you know, graduating with, you know, a degree in that kind of field? Because, I mean, I know that you kind of left the music industry, but what drew you to wanting to learn graphic design and kind of be a part of that world?
Well, I've always been drawn to illustrating, drawing, painting, to the arts in general. That came before music for me. And in junior high, I developed that even more. High school, I developed it even more. And I always knew I wanted to do something in the arts industry. Excuse me, whether it was graphic, photography, or music. And when I graduated with my associate's degree in fine art, where I learned about painting and art history and all of that sort of thing. And I decided I really wanted to keep doing music, or wanted to keep doing design for the music industry. So a lot of my projects were designing an album cover or designing a promo piece for a band, or movies too. I like doing movie posters, for example. But then I decided I really had an eye for photography, and I started doing photography after I got my associate's degree. And I went to Columbia College of Chicago, which is where I got my BA. And originally I was a photography major, but this was at the time when we were still shooting on film. This was the early 90s, and digital hadn't really got there yet. But I also I was really good with computers and computer graphic design, started playing with the first Mac that I'd seen. And when I was going to college at Columbia, I started work, started teaching myself the applications that they had. Illustrator was early then. Photoshop was version 2.0 then. So I started working in Photoshop and started playing with that. And again, I was doing album covers and promo posters and that sort of thing. So I switched. I realized that I was a good photographer, but I wasn't really good in the darkroom. But I was really good at doing the computer work, doing the computer graphic design, and even traditional graphic design. So I switched my major and became a graphic design major. And then, later on, when the digital photography caught up with it, I jumped back into the photography because I knew that I could take the photography that I did and I could make it look even cooler in post doing Photoshop work on it.
Yeah. And when it comes to the album covers, do you have one specific album cover or a couple that to you are the most memorable that you've done over the course of your career?
Most memorable. Oh gosh, there's some that were a lot of work. There's some that were better than others. No, I don't really have a favorite. I enjoy working on every project, just like every design that I do. As long as the idea is good and the people that I'm working with are good, I'm really happy with it. I really liked doing the last Warrant cover because, again, it was a band that I kind of grew up with. I remember seeing them before their first album even came out, seeing them live in Chicago. And so it was exciting to get asked to work with them on that record. And I really enjoyed it because I pitched them a concept. They loved where I was going with it. And they let me do pretty much whatever I wanted to do with it. But I never, Damon Johnson's kind of the same thing. Damon Johnson plays with, he's solo now, did his last two solo records. And he played with Alice Cooper and Brother Kane was I was a big fan of, saw him live way back when. And working with him is fantastic. I just like, it's not about the artwork as much as it is the people that I work with. I really enjoy working with the certain people that trust me to do what I do and that let me explore. And Damon's one of those guys too. When we did his Memoirs of an Uprising album cover, I pitched him an idea and he was like, he couldn't believe how right on it was for him. So, I love doing that. I love doing just working with different people rather than specific projects.
And you've had this, Warren Star for, like you said, since 2009. And, I know you used to do the album covers a little bit more frequently before then, but is it nice now sometimes, when you do have the chance to do them, it's a little nice kind of change of pace from the work that you do with Warren Star?
That's exactly what it is. It's just, I do it to keep me fresh, just to keep my chops up design wise. And I like coming up with a cool idea and seeing if we can execute it, whether it's a photograph or an illustration. So it's a little bit different than trying to, like with Warren Star, we're also trying to expand the look of that. But with album cover design, it allows me to do something completely different, whether, it's again, the Warrant cover or the Damon Johnson cover, which is totally different. And then I did Johnny Winter's last two records. So that's blues. So I like doing different things. It just keeps me fresh. When I do those, I usually study what's going on now. What kind of designs are going on in the music industry? Music and fashion are usually pretty close, at least the stuff that I like. So it kind of comes easy, but it is a different animal and I really enjoy doing it. I don't get to do it enough as much as I'd want to, but, I do enjoy the projects that I get.
And while we're on the topic of things that you've designed, you have your pinball machine beautifully displayed behind you.
Yes.
That you worked on with Stern Pinball. So give me a little bit of insight into that, because that must also be a whole different world than just, album covers and Warren Star.
It is. I was the art director at Stern for a little over a year. This was probably about 8 years ago. It was, I got asked, they lost their art director and I was, this was when Warren Star was still a part-time project where it was still growing. And so, and this was in, the freelance work I was doing wasn't paying great. People were late to pay and all that. So I got offered a gig to be the art director over there. And I jumped at it because it was the entertainment industry. I loved pinball. So I went in there. I was the art director. My first project I worked on was AC/DC. And it's always funny because the guy that got me the job there was the same guy that worked over at Washburn. And so we both left the music industry. It took us to leaving the music industry to work with a band like AC/DC. And so I did AC/DC. I did X-Men, Metallica. I'm forgetting Avengers, The Walking Dead. But before that, I was doing photography for them. I was photographing all their products, all their new pinball machines. And then after I left right after I finished Metallica, and then I got asked to do Walking Dead because it was right up my alley design wise. So I did the Walking Dead for them. And then I still, for the past 8 years, continued to do photography for them. And then, so I talked to them all the time, and they would tell me about the new projects that are coming down the pike. And Led Zeppelin was the one that came up, and they asked if I'd be interested in doing it. And I'm like, yeah, I'd be interested in doing it. I'd totally be interested in doing it. I love Led Zeppelin. It's one of my favorite bands. So they kicked it around for a while. They were talking to other illustrators. But working with a license like that, Led Zeppelin was really strict on what they wanted on it, what we can use for artwork. So I'm really good when I'm challenged like that. So they were talking over there, and they're like, you know what, Stefan's the guy. We got to get him to do it. He's the right guy for the job. And I said, well, you pull the trigger and let me know. And if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I would love to do it. So we worked on that for the projects like that usually take about 12 to 18 months. So you got to keep your mouth shut for 12 to 18 months, which is not always the easiest thing to do when you're working on a project like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So I got to design 3 Led Zeppelin pinball machines. I finally got mine in here a couple of weeks ago. I wanted to go with the Led Zeppelin 1 package because that's so iconic to me. One of the best album covers ever designed. So, I love doing it, stuff like that. And it's all design. I approach each one kind of the same mentality. Washing machine, pinball machine, I don't care what it is. I can design it. I can make it look cool. I'm confident in that. So I love working on stuff like that. And if they offered me another cool title, I would do it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think about a pinball machine, and it's not just the outside or the top, it's the entire inside of the pinball machine.
The playfield is the heart. Yeah, the playfield is the hardest thing to design. And that's where all the neat work is in there. And that's where I was able to explore a little bit more. It was really fun because I had to stick with a lot of existing artwork, and I was limited to what photos I can use of the band. And everybody had to be treated the same way. There's certain rules when you deal with a license. But I took some liberties when I did that. I did my artwork based on an existing poster from early 70s. But I did it as if that poster were done modern. So I redid it with some of the same elements and stuff. But it kind of had the same feel. As if they were designing that poster in 2020, this is what I thought they would do.
Yeah, there's a store in my hometown. My friend Stephen Keeler has a record store / a pinball, basically like arcade. And he got the Led Zeppelin 3 one. So when he got that, I was like, that's one of my favorite Led Zeppelin albums. And I was like, oh, that's so great. So I absolutely love it. I think they came out awesome.
Thank you so much.
So I want to go back to Warren Starr just a little bit, because I think it's really interesting that, your wife, is also such a key part of this. And, how has it been in kind of going into clothing? Because I know that that's kind of a different realm. You've done a lot of graphic stuff, obviously, as we've talked about, that's on the computer. And, now you're dealing with something that's a little, tangible, and people mm-hmm. wear it and all that fun stuff. So how has it been for you to kind of learn some new skills in that realm?
Well, it's been really interesting. It's been a learning experience for the past 12 years. My wife and I, Sylvia, we knew nothing about the fashion industry. We like it. We enjoyed it a lot. There's a lot of stuff we like about the fashion industry, but it was a whole different animal. She had always been, she grew up designing clothing and had always designed clothing for her dolls and stuff when she was a little kid. So when we started talking about doing this clothing thing. We did it kind of out of necessity, really, because it was 2009. Again, back to the economy was in the toilet, and my freelance clients weren't paying their bills, so we had to find a way to make money. And we started the clothing company as a side business, really, as a way to bring people into the photo studio when I was shooting band photos. That way, so for example, Sylvia would design clothes. She would style the clothing for a band's photo shoot, either buy clothing and piece it together or would design and make her own. And she would dress a lot of the artists that we would shoot. And we thought, well, this is a great way to differentiate ourselves in the Chicago scene as far as doing music photography, because we'd be the only photo studio that had a stylist on staff. So where we can make, you know, there's a lot of bands that know what their image is, but then there's a lot that are not really good with it. And so we would dress them as well. So it started out as a side thing. And pretty soon artists were starting to ask her to buy the clothing she was designing for them, or even the stuff she was just curating for them. We thought, okay, maybe we're onto something here. And so we thought this is something we can turn into a little business. So we started designing a few pieces, putting them up on eBay, and they would go like that. And then we decided to try and put together a brand and put together a website. And we did. And that's what we launched that in September of 2009. And it started slow, as all businesses do. But we sold out of the first run of t-shirts we did, and we take all the money that we make and we try and put it right back into growing something, because we thought we really have something here. Let's grow it and see if we can turn this into something that we can make a living off of. And that's what we're doing now.
Yeah. It's Warnstar is just one of those brands that, I mean, I'm only 21. So, you know, me being in the music industry as I've, you know, gotten into this field, you know, Warnstar has always been one of those brands that, like, I feel like I've known really well. And, you know, all the musicians that I know that are up and coming have always like, oh, you know, I want to get Warnstar stuff, and, you know, it'd be so cool to be endorsed by Warnstar. So I feel like it's really cool that you guys went from that to now being on that level.
Well, thank you. It's still a small company. I mean, I'm sitting in our showroom here, which isn't that big. We're still only, 8 employees total. You know, and we still do everything ourselves. I've got manufacturers that I work with that manufacture the t-shirts and some of the denim and stuff for us, but all the custom work is all done here. And we really enjoy what we do, and we're just trying to grow it. And it's, you know, there's people that think it's a bigger company than it is, but that's just because I do all the design and the art direction and creative direction on it. And that's what I do. I'm used to building brands and making them look bigger than they are. So people think we're a big corporation when it's just a small family-owned business. You know, we started this thing. Our first showroom was in our garage, and that was 10 years ago. You know, and we've only been in this location, which we're about to outgrow, for just over 5 years. So still small, but we're hoping to continue to grow. I'm glad people think it's bigger than it is. But, you know, we're still small and humble family-owned company.
Right. I mean, I also think, too, you know, when you see musicians that seems, you know, larger than life, you know, wearing these clothes, and, you know, it makes the whole thing seem larger than life in a way.
So yeah, the artists we work with, we're really happy with. They do a fantastic job promoting us, and you know, everybody's different. We're just trying to grow and expand and become a bit more of a, even more of a brand. That's what I've always kind of done when I work with the different companies. I'm always focused on trying to build a good brand with a good name that people know the know the quality of. And that's what we're trying to focus on, making sure the quality of the garments are great, making sure that the customer service is getting better all the time, things like that. And we're trying to expand the designs and expand into other markets and other genres. You know, we're mostly rock and hard rock and heavy metal. But I have a lot of country artists and blues artists and hip hop artists. So I love all different kinds of music. So I love doing stuff outside of what I'm used to.
Yeah. And it's important to note too, that it's not only musicians that can wear your clothes, you know, regular fans and people can also, you know, wear a Warren Star and shop on the website and stuff like that too.
That's mostly what we gear towards. Yes, we do. We try and make stuff for everyday wear, and then the rock stars like to have something custom. Sometimes we do that for regular customers as well. So we get a lot of people that buy our clothes to ride their motorcycles. We have some professional wrestlers that wear our clothes. It's funny, we get magicians that wear our clothes, chefs, celebrity chefs. It's a little. Anybody that wants to the look that we're doing, and so we couldn't be happier with that.
Yeah, and one thing that it's kind of a vague question, but I sure. ask a lot of, you know, business owners and, you know, people like you have built something from the ground up. You know, what is like a piece of advice that you would give to somebody kind of starting a business like this or starting a venture like this, you know, from the beginning?
Well, make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Make sure you do it because you love it. If you're looking to do it to get rich, to make money, that's not going to happen. you got to be willing to work hard and love what you're doing. I mean, we've been at this business for 12 years, and the first 10 of those years, my wife and I didn't pay ourselves. So it took a while to get to that point where we knew this company was stable enough to where we can make money at it. But we love what we do and we love the people we work with. So that's why we continue to do what we do. I know a lot of other clothing companies, a lot of other people that own clothing companies, and some of them, I think, do it for the wrong reasons. I'm not looking to be, my wife and I, we love being behind the scenes. We don't want to be a rock star. You know, we don't want to be out there. There's so many people out there that own a clothing company. That's all about them. It's all about getting their photo out there or whatever. And I don't really care about that. That's part of the reason I love being in the music industry. I've always loved doing stuff behind the scenes. I love being in the recording studio, the photo studio, the side of the stage, backstage, all that stuff. It's just, I love the entire creative process. So if you love what you're doing, yeah, continue to do it. Just be prepared to work and work a lot. We get a lot of people that say, I want to do what you do because then you can make your own hours. And the joke we have is, yeah, we get to decide which 20 hours out of the day we work.
Seriously.
You know? It's a lot of work and a lot of weekends, a lot of late nights. But my wife and I are workaholics. We love it.
Yeah. And you're 100% right. You know, you got to do it because you love it. And it's like, you know, even for me, like in this, you know, doing this podcast, you know, it's like, I'm not even anywhere near as a business as you guys are. And it's a lot of work. And I don't think
people
realize it's weekends, it's late nights, it's days, it's the whole shebang.
Well, that's kind of the reason why I got out of the playing side. Cause I liked it. I liked it a lot. There's nothing like being on stage. It's fantastic, but I loved the creative process more. I loved writing and recording and being in the studio. So, I just didn't think I didn't want to do a bunch of touring. I didn't mind it. I didn't want to do a bunch of that. So I knew that wasn't really for me. So I got out of that and focused on what I love. And as far as you're concerned, I think you're doing a fantastic job. I watched a few of your podcasts and I think you're one of the better ones out there. So just keep doing what you're doing. It's really, really good. And the great thing is it's clear that you love what you're doing. It's clear that you're a fan of all the people that you talk to, and don't ever lose that. That's one of the things that Sylvia and I are too, is we're fans of everybody we work with. We don't put them on a pedestal, but we like being equal and working with them. but we are definitely fans of the people we work with.
Yeah, I always look at it that way. And it seems some of my favorite musicians always, you know, still feel that way too about the people that they were influenced by and the people that they get to work with. And I think, kind of like you said, once you lose that, you know, it's kind of all for nothing. So
right.
Thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate that too.
Oh, I mean it. You're great.
Thank you. It was so great to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and me. And everybody, please go check out warnstar.com. You can go check out all the clothes. Be sure to keep up with Stefan and everything that him and Sylvia are doing, because their company is great and larger than life for sure. So thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sydney.
Thank you guys so much for listening to my conversation with Stefan Jensen, co-founder and CEO of Warnstar Clothing. I really hope you guys enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. I thought that it was a really different take that we got to hear with Stefan, you know, what it takes to design an album cover, what it takes to design something like a pinball machine, and also to run one of the kind of biggest clothing stores or clothing companies, I should say, you know, in this kind of hard rock and heavy metal scene, because they do endorse a lot of different artists and customize a lot of clothing, you know, are really, really into this scene. So I thought that it was a really just interesting conversation and something that we don't really hear a lot about. So I really hope you guys enjoyed listening to this one. I hope to have Stefan on maybe in the future to talk a little bit about what else he has going on with Warnstar, and hopefully, you know, to meet him in person at NAMM. Fingers crossed that that happens this coming year in 2022. But if you guys really loved what you heard and are interested in donating to the Metal from the Inside podcast, the best place to do so is at www.anchor.fm/metalfromtheinside. Here you can click on the support button and donate either $1, $5, or $10 a month directly to the podcast. If that doesn't float your boat and you want to get some merch with your donation, you can go ahead and go to season-of-mist.com, type Metal from the Inside in the search bar, and our flame logo tee will pop up. Here you can purchase your very own official Metal from the Inside merchandise, and every single dollar received as well will go back into the podcast. It's a great way to donate and to also get a really cool piece of merch that you can go ahead and rep the Metal from the Inside podcast with, you know, get some more metalheads to come and join our little community over here. If you'd like some merch or to leave a donation, those are the ways to do it. If you'd like to keep up with Metal from the Inside, the best place to do so is at www.metalfromtheinside.com. We are also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and you can go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube page, Metal from the Inside, again, and here you can watch all of our interviews, including this week's conversation with Stefan Jensen, my conversation with Dee Snider's up there, with Alice Cooper, with Vinny Appice. They are all available on our YouTube page to watch. So go ahead, click the subscribe button, click the little notification bell so you don't miss any interviews or videos that are posted to the YouTube channel. We are at 1,500 subscribers and counting, so go ahead and be sure to join the Metal from the Inside family over on YouTube. If you'd like to stay up to date with me, Sydney Taylor, in real time, you can follow me on Instagram at Sydney Anna Taylor or on Twitter at S Taylor Official. I'm always happy to chat hard rock and heavy metal with you guys. You can send me a message, you can shoot me an email, whatever you'd like. I always love to hear from you, and of course, also want to hear what you would like to see on the podcast here or see on the podcast. We do have audio and video here, as I just described, so be sure to let me know what you'd like to see, maybe specific topics you'd like me to speak about, maybe an album ranking that you'd really like to hear, or a guest that you would want to, you know, here on the Metal from the Inside podcast. So I am very easy to reach. Those are the best ways to do so. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys soon. Thank you guys so much again for taking the time to listen to episode 44 of the podcast. I am so thankful for everyone that joins in and listens and is a part of the Metal from the Inside community. It is so appreciated. Once again, be sure to go ahead and leave a 5-star review on our Apple Podcast page, our Facebook page, or our Podchaser page. And also be sure to send me a photo of you wearing your Metal from the Inside merchandise if you do decide to purchase some. It is available in tees, long sleeve, women's cuts even. We got hoodies, we got zip ups, we got camos, we got crop tops, we got all that fun stuff. So be sure to go ahead and send me a photo if you do purchase a piece of merch. I want to share it on our social media accounts, and It'd just be super cool. So go ahead and be sure to send that over. Thank you guys so much again. It has been a blast hanging out with you guys for another week. Stay tuned. We will be right back here next Friday, 1 week from today, for episode 45 of the Metal from the Inside podcast. I'm your host, Sydney Taylor. Have a great rest of your week and rock on.